Well, good evening, people. Thanks for joining me. So, yeah, my country show's moved to a Monday, so check that out. 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock on Radio Warwickshire, so radiowarwickshire.com. But you're listening to the Dougie Stone Talk Show here on Radio Warwickshire. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so why not hook up with me on Twitter at Dougie Stone or at Dougie Stone Show. Or go onto Facebook, Kurt Pickstone, hook up with me there. Let's interact. I'm always trying to bring you an interesting guest, and tonight we're talking about mental health and business. Really interesting conversation with a guy. So yeah, enjoy this. Hope it helps you. Let's get on with the show.
Hello, I'm Karen Blake from Too Hot Marketing, and I help people expose themselves. But when I need a bit of inspiration, I listen to the Dougie Stone Show.
Hey, yeah, good evening, people. Like I say, I'm trying to bring you an interesting guest, and I've got a guy I've contacted, or we've contacted about a couple of things, and I'll let him introduce himself, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation because there's a lot towards around mental health, which is, you know, something we need to be considerate, and about business. So, good evening.
Good evening. Hello, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, mate. So, do you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
By all means. Hello, everybody. I am Mark Ford, business life coach. And before anybody gets really upset, I'm not a life coach. I'm more of a business coach, but I kind of look at business as it's a way of life. We all have started our own businesses, and those who have started their own businesses realize that actually you think about your business the moment you wake up and probably the moment you drop off to sleep, and everything that happens around your business it makes your life go by quicker or slower depending on how successful or unsuccessful you are. And look, 12 months ago something happened to me that was a bit of a life-changing moment for me. I've done corporate life. I've been up to director level with well-known supermarket chain. I've managed businesses. I went on to create my own business, which was pretty successful, and sold my own business. But it would be fair to say that 25 years of working solidly, working ridiculous amounts of hours, caught up with me. And I fell apart. I avoided all the signs that were telling me to stop, take a break, take a rest, recharge my batteries, and I ended up having a breakdown. Not a great place to be, and certainly not a great place to be in business, because people tend to look upon you as if there is something wrong with you. But actually, the more that you dig deeper, the more you find out that actually it's more common than people think. So over the last 12, 14 months, I have been rebuilding myself, first off, and I've been rebuilding my business. But I've also been in a great position where I've been able to affect other people's businesses, other people's lives, by helping them, yeah, get to their goals and their visions in their business, but also recognize that they need to look after themselves at the same time. Otherwise, they're not going to reap the rewards of any success that may come their way. So pretty much, that is me. I am that guy. I've written books. I even do my own podcast on the subject as well. So that's probably the longest 60-second intro I think I've ever done.
Hey, no worries. No, it's good to have you on the show. But, yeah, I think people don't realise when they look at I think the reason it's not talked about is still a bit of a stigma on the old mental health, and because it is a mental, it's classified as mental health when you have a bit of a breakdown, isn't it? You know, even if it's due to work, but because of the old stiff upper lip and the men and all that, it doesn't really get talked about much, does it? And people don't, unless they're in it and start talking to other people, they think they're on their own with that problem.
Very much so, and I think it's really opened my eyes, because I was. Some people have said brave, some people have said stupid. I've actually lost clients because I felt I was being honest enough to talk about it. I have had emails from clients saying that they no longer want to work with me because I'm that sort of person, which I found staggering in this sort of day and age, but hey, it happens. In fact, I actually met a chap yesterday who described it probably one of the best ways that I've heard, and it's incredibly simple, but he called it invisible wellness. Because everybody has sympathy for people. You know, you break your leg, you break your arm, you know, you've got a virus or whatever. Everybody has some amount of sympathy. But it's an invisible wellness that nobody talks about, because we're not very good at looking after our minds. Some would say we're not very good at looking after our bodies either, but we're probably better looking at our looking after our bodies than we are our minds. And the more I talked about it, the more it really hit home. It didn't matter whether you were successful or failing in your business, that it affected everyone who ran businesses. And originally, it just came to me that, you know, there were stats that were out there saying 1 in 4 people would struggle with mental health issues. And so by default, I kind of thought, well, you know, 1 in 4 people would struggle with mental health issues running a business. And I started sort of like writing and blogging about these types of things. And I think it really hit home to me about three months after I'd broken down and I was recovering. And I'd written a blog about lies that depression had told me. And I'm not going to, you know, dance around the subject, and I'm not going to give people any bullshit, is that actually depression is one of those things that it does lie to you. You think you're okay, but actually people from the outside looking in can sometimes see the signs way before you can. And that's what happened to me, is that people could see signs, but typical British, stiff upper lip, and being a typical man as well, no, I'm fine, I'll battle through it. But I wrote this blog, and I got a message on Facebook from a chap I'd never met. Somebody had shared my blog on Facebook, and the message came through the other messages side of things. And it started out with the words, thank you. And it was about 9:30 at night, and I carried on reading it. And he said, you don't know me, we've never met, but I read your blog today. I want to say thank you, because it's stopped me from going home and doing what I really wanted to do. At 6:00 tonight, I went home and told my wife, for the very first time in God knows how many years, how I really felt. And we are currently sat in A&E waiting to be seen. And it stopped me from going home and ending my life. Wow. And that, wow. You know, I still well up about it now. I'm kind of doing it now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But that really hit home. And a couple of weeks later, we had a conversation. And he's a business owner. He's been a business owner for the last 15 years. He was working himself into the floor, 60, 70, 80 hours a week to make ends meet, to make his business successful. And this is what sometimes people forget, is that when it's quite a brave decision to be self-employed. You've got that burning desire within you. You think you can do better than what you're already given as an employee or as a manager. And you want to go out and do it yourself. So it's a hugely brave decision. And therefore, it becomes harder and harder as time goes on for people to admit that they're struggling in some shape or form, especially with their partners. And this is what I could relate to, is that I couldn't admit to my partner I was struggling.
Yeah.
And he couldn't admit to his wife or his kids that he was struggling. But that blog gave him the confidence to be able to go home, sit at a table and talk to his wife openly and honestly for the first time in God knows how long, and sort of say, look, I wanted to come home and commit suicide. And that is not a great place to be.
No.
And the more I've been talking about this, the more messages that I get from people saying, you know, thank you. It's nice to hear somebody say it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And it's also from successful people as well. You know, when people are so focused and so one-track minded to become successful, that those that are very mentally resilient will get to the top. And they suddenly realize that all their friends have buggered off and their family has kind of moved on.
Yeah.
And it becomes a very lonely place to be.
Yeah.
You know, you look at some of the famous recently a famous footballer has been, I'm going to say, helped by the Mental Health Act. You know, that guy's on tens of thousands of pounds a week.
Yeah.
And everybody would look at him and go, do you know what? You've got all the trappings of success. Why are you depressed? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, but I think this is the issue, and this is the issue that we're faced with, because everyone's being pumped this bullshit about, well, if you've got the big house and the big car and all that, that's success. That's not success. That's not success at all. I mean, some of the loneliest people are probably some of the richest people in the world, but people that have not got anything a certain level will look up and go, well, they're really successful, they've got all the money, because people that have not got money think money is the thing that makes you happy, and it's crap. It's not. You won't be happy just because you get more money. You need to be happy before you've even got the cash. Don't, do you know what I mean? And this is the lie that everyone's being told, which makes them think, so they keep pushing and pushing and pushing, because they're waiting to get to this promised land of the utopia where everything's going to be wonderful. And like you say, they turn round and their life turns to shit because there's nothing left.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's amazing, certainly with social media and the way things are so instant at the moment. I can go on my Facebook feed now, and probably loads of things will come up. Is about, you know, get a six-figure business in less than 24 hours if you follow this 100-step plan. There are, you know, there's all the adverts out there, and I differ from my coach, and we no longer work together. And I'm not going to name him, because he did get very good success for me initially. I've spoken to another guy. I've interviewed another guy this week for the podcast who also had the same, where initially his business coach got a great, you know, success for him to begin with, but because things weren't quite working out the way we felt they should be, we've agreed on this, is that we started lying to ourselves, we started lying to our coach, and we started to lie to everybody else around us. It's the same with networking events. You know, there's a certain amount of bullshit that goes on at networking events where, you know, how's business? Oh yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. Yet you drive past their house and the car's on the bloody driveway all the time. So, you know, it's not that nobody feels they can talk about it. And so when it comes to my kind of coaching now, is that because of my own experiences, is that I'd want people to be more honest with me. You know, you start believing, yeah, you have goals and you have visions, and you're almost encouraged to set these visions and goals in a way that is almost always going to be out of your reach, not slightly out of your reach. So they're not stretching goals, but they're goals that stretch you to the point of breaking. You know, if you've got a business that turned over 10 grand last year, there is no point in setting a goal for, you know, year two where it's going to get you 100 grand, because you're just going to aimlessly end up deflated, demotivated, yeah, and
every
trashed.
Every month goes by and you're further behind, aren't you?
So it's really key that people recognise when it's going on. So I use a really simple system now, and I'm using it with some of my existing clients that stayed with me whilst I was unwell, and I will forever thank them for that, because that's real credit to them. But I use the same system now with other businesses that are coming to me that are perhaps have been promised the bloody world and are now realizing that actually they just needed that more grounded direction, grounded help, rather than, yeah, you can make, you know, $500,000 in 6 months or whatever, but it's more grounded. So I came out with it myself, and it was oddly at a conference, and I sat there just writing stuff down, but it was under the word rebuild, and because I felt I was rebuilding, and I have had to rebuild my business.
Yeah.
So that goes down to R, which stands for recognize, reflect, and respond. Now, the recognize is recognizing that there is something wrong, being brave enough to stand up and go, yep, okay, yeah, I've got a problem here. Things aren't going as well as they should be. Then reflect on it. Why aren't they? Am I comparing the size of my penis to somebody else's in business? You know, he's got all the trappings of fame and fortune. I haven't, but I'm still in the same business as them. You know, is that a real reflection of where you are? Is that a real reflection of where you want to be?
Yeah.
And respond to it. Do something about it. Not just bury your head in the sand and hope it goes away, because it won't. I'm sorry, it won't. And if you bury your head in the sand, things will get worse rather than better. So then we go on to E, which is empower and educate. and empower is having that bravery to stand up and admit to the people closest to you that there's a problem. So whether that be your partner, whether that be your friends, whether that be some close colleagues that you work with, that's empowerment. It's taking ownership of the problem, because people will understand. And the ones who don't understand, you can educate. Yeah, and you educate yourself by looking into it. And it's not until I broke down did I realize there were other people like me. I felt like I was the only person on the planet that had gone through this. I wasn't. And now I'm in almost in a sane mind. I'll always realize I'm not the only person. I'm talking to people daily who realize that this mental wellness needs to be talked about. Then I go on to B, which is brand belief. So believe in what made you start this business in the first place. You know, you have that belief in yourself, but have that belief in yourself that you can look after yourself as look after number one and not number two. Anybody else, in other words.
Yeah, yeah.
You, which is understand your uniqueness. You are unique. If you go for these things like follow this, you know, 100-point plan, it will make you six figures. No. Some of them might work for you. Others probably won't work for you. Your business will work. Everybody has the same basics, cash flow, profit, loss, all that sort of stuff. But apart from that, your business is so unique, it's a reflection of you. So you have to understand that.
Yeah.
Then I implement and improve the things that you've learned about. So if you realize that working 70 hours a week is not the best thing for you to do, implement it. Get your diary right so that you are working as productively as you can in 40 hours, as an example, and then have the weekend off. I myself now, I'll work till 5 o'clock on a Friday, and then that's it. Laptop off, phone off, thanks very much. I'll have the weekend with my partner, my son, and then on Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I'll open the laptop up again.
Yeah.
That's me time. That is me to reflect on me, enjoy my life, enjoy my loved ones, the people I want to be with, and the people that actually I'm working really hard to support. I want to enjoy them, otherwise I'm going to miss it all. And that, again, is pointless. L, lose the loss. Realize that some relationships aren't great. You are the sum of the five closest people that are around you. I part of my issue when I broke down was that I had been in a relationship that was very one-sided. So when I had previously at a previous point sat down and said that I was feeling a bit blue or something like that and had tried to talk about it, all I got back was, well, how do you think that makes me feel?
Yeah, that's not great.
So I'm not advocating divorce by any chances here, but what I'm saying is that sometimes, you know, if there are people that are draining you and getting, you know, making you lose energy, be prepared to lose them, because they're not going to be there to support you when things aren't going as well as they have been.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, because you're right about the five people, and yeah, some people might need to get divorced because that person might be the person. You know, seriously, it could be, couldn't it? Or it could be the people that pretend they're my best friend, but if they're energy hoggers and they're bloody zapping you of all your, you know what I mean, that thing that you need, your emotions, and they're sucking away from you, you've got nothing left for the other people, so it just impacts on you. So yeah, you're right, I think you're right. It's a bit drastic in some eyes, but yeah, you've got to identify when people don't fit into your plan and don't fit into, because it's about you, man. What you're talking about as well, it's not just about your business, it's about you, isn't it? That whatever it is has to fit into you, that's taking you on your journey, whether it's your business or whatever, your career. So if they don't fit into what you're trying to do, then they shouldn't be in it, should they?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, my own situation was a case of I sure as hell found out who my real friends were. You know, I'm in a great relationship now. I'm very happy. She's incredibly supportive. You know, she struggles to understand. And I think, you know, unless they've suffered it themselves, I think people will do. But she understands enough that, you know, when I am feeling that anxiety or that little bit of a low, that actually there's that understanding here to go, do you know what, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, the business will still be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, worry about it tomorrow. Just have a little bit of time for yourself, or let's go out, let's go and have a meal, let's go and have a chat or whatever. So, you know, that's great. And that brings me on to D, which is all the other stuff on, you know, R, E, B, U, I, and L is deploy and dominate. Is, you know, rather than just sitting on your hands and waiting for somebody to lead you, is to get on with it. Yeah, you know, you're gonna, it's just seize the day. You know, getting back into things, you know, getting back into the swing of things with the things that you've learned, and it's important to learn through the process, is, you know, trying not to make the same, you know, making a mistake is making a mistake. Making a mistake twice is, you know, is careless. Making the same mistake three times is just stupid. Yeah? Yeah. And so, you know, deploy what you've learned. You know, if you realize that, you know, working 70 hours a week is, you know, mentally and physically killing you, stop doing it. But if you find within 3 weeks of you starting back, you're back to 70 hours a week, well, you haven't learned.
So you've got to go back
and recognize that you haven't learned, reflect on why you're not doing things better, and respond to it. So it's a continual process. It keeps going back over itself. But it's that, it's from that point of where you recognize that things haven't failed, but things are not in the place you wanted them to be. Because it's going to be different for everybody. You know, I virtually had to lose my business to get myself back. My business, my life, my friends, my family, my partner, I had to almost be in that place for me to recognize what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
For some other people, it might be a case of, you know, they don't know who their friends are anymore. They feel isolated. They feel very lonely. That's the time to stop yourself. You know, you and I both know Brad Burton, and Brad's personal story, there's almost a little bit of a bromance between me and Brad, because his story is very similar to mine. But the fact that he stopped himself, he had that recognition that things were going badly. I didn't. I went that extra step further and completely broke down. So that's why, you know, I look to Brad as somebody who's, you know, in that position where he's reflected. You know, what is success? Is success having the flashiest car, or is success being able to spend a weekend with his kids and his wife? You know, things change, and it's changed me. And the nice thing is that now I'm seeing, talking to my clients about, you know, rebuild, they're seeing those changes as well, because there is more self-awareness to not running around like a headless chicken. But it's almost a case of they're doing the hard work, but allowing success to come to them, as opposed to chasing success all the time. Because sometimes the things that you chase just keep running away.
Yeah,
they get further and further.
Yeah, yeah.
The faster they get. So sometimes, you know, doing that hard work, success will come to them because they're in a better frame of mind to take opportunities. They're in a better place to take opportunities, and they're sharper and they're healthier and they're fitter and mentally well to be able to take advantage of any opportunity that comes their way.
Yeah, because Crosley, he talks about that as well, and he talks about don't make decisions when you're in euphoria or you're in a stress state, because neither will be the right solution. What you decide to do will be wrong. And, you know, one of them is probably buying a timeshare when you're on holiday, sunning yourself, and people go and buy timeshares because, oh, this is marvelous. Get home and go, why the frigging hell do we buy that? Do you know what I mean? But in the moment, it seemed like the right thing. Or if people are really stressed, they start, and say the business isn't doing very well, and there's loads of, and especially if people are tired, they make the wrong decisions anyway, and they're chasing that cash, they need a bit of extra money. So they're forever chasing that thing. And it's almost like a gambler. If people are gamblers, they might win a stack of cash, you know, they could be sat there with a couple of thousand in front of them, and they'll just keep banging it back on, because it's, and then they lose that, and then they want to win that back again, and it's just like a vicious circle. And I like a lot of analogies, and I think that's the sort of same sort of thing, is you keep chasing this thing, and the deficit keeps going down, so you keep throwing more at it, so you throw more time and more effort at it, and actually, you're not going to get it back any quicker, so you might as well just step back, cut, like you're saying, cut your losses, walk away from the table, and go do something else that's not, you know, not taking it away from you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's nice that you're talking about sort of, you know, timeshares, and you don't do that when you're on holiday and things like that. I think one of the best things that one of my clients has said to me quite recently is They've described me as the silent director. They've worked with other business coaches before who are, you know, about accountability, come, let's really push, let's really drive you forward, bang, 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 bang. But they look to me as the silent director of their business. So that for 1 hour a week, or you know, however they want to get in touch with me, is that they can close the door to the rest of the world and be brutally honest with me. So it's that case of, if they've had a great week, they'll tell me they've had a great week. But if they've had a terrible week, they will tell me they've had a terrible week. They could even be in the middle of that terrible week and just ring me up and just go, do you know what, Mark? I'm having a shocking week. I need to tell you about it. Great. Get it off your chest. Right. Let's talk about how we can turn this week round. Let's not try and kill ourselves. The past is the past, but let's just like just reframe it so that by the time you go to bed on Friday night for your weekend, it's not all doom and gloom. You've got a couple of days to turn it around. Let's take the positives out of what could be a catastrophic week.
Yeah.
You know? And I think having that element of just somebody to talk to, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned, is being able to talk about it. Not being scared about it. I've mentioned about you are some of your five closest friends. If you've got five people around you that you feel you can talk to, and this was great actually. This came to me from a guy called Andy Whitaker, who's one of the co-authors from The Art of Brilliant. Really nice bloke. He's from Mansfield. He talks a bit like that. But he rang me up when he realised that I was in trouble, and we had a long chat. And I'd actually gone through a period of not going to the pub, not drinking, which is great for health wise. But he sort of said, well, you've kind of cut off your friends, because a lot of your friends still go to the pub, and you weren't going to the pub because there's that stigma of not drinking and all that sort of stuff. He said, so you weren't perhaps able to talk about things. And he said, that's why the murder rate in the UK is so low. And I went, what do you mean? And he said, well, we have a great pub culture in the UK where if you go down the pub and you go down there with your mates, if your missus has upset you because she hasn't done the washing up, yeah, you'll sit there and you'll go, do you know what, bloody murderer. All she's done is whinge, 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 whinge. He said, what is the likelihood of you going home and actually murdering your wife because you've said those words? And I said, well, very little. He said, yeah, because you've got it off your chest. He said, but you go to places, certain places in America, and he said, and if, you know, you go into bars in America, it's a very solitary environment where people will sit at the bar, perhaps talk to the bar staff, but just generally sit there, either talk to themselves or just sit there and drink and then go home. And he said, and the murder rate from when people leave the bar to when they go home to their premises or their houses or whatever, he said, it's ridiculous, because they haven't they've been able to get it off their chest and talk to anybody about it.
That
sounds odd, but there is a kind of logic to it.
It does make sense. I mean, what I do, there's two of us that are friends, and we actually mentor each other's business. So a bit like you're talking, it's more and it ebbs and flows where I need more attention and I need to look at this and need to look at that. And then it flicks around to the other person where it's like, well, this is happening. And then because you're like the right thing, because we're brutally honest with each other about what's happening, what our finances look like, what our client base looks like, where we're struggling, the other one's able to step back and go, actually, well, why haven't you thought about doing that?
Mm.
And they go, you know, we both go, yeah, that makes sense. And it is a trust environment that works, and it's the same sort of thing that you're doing with your customers, and that we chose to do it with each other, and for us it works. You know, we it's just that other person. We're driving our own businesses, but then getting together to say, this is happening, what should I do, what do you think I should do with that, and we work it anyway. It does make sense to have. You need to talk to people, and that's one of the biggest issues with marriages breaking down is communication. People don't talk to each other, so it all festers. The other one gets pissed off because the other one's not talking or grumpy or whatever, and then they both drift apart, and then next thing you know, they're getting divorced.
As humans, we haven't learned from the devices that we make. You know, a lot of the devices, like a car, for example, when it's breaking down, when things aren't right with it, the dashboard tells you that there's something not right, and you do something about it. But as human beings, for some silly reason, especially when it comes to the invisible wellness like mental health, is that when something's going wrong, we don't talk about it. We don't tell people things are going wrong. So if we don't tell people things are going wrong, or something's happening that is making us feel uncomfortable and we're not quite sure what it is, how are we ever going to fix it? How are we ever going to solve it? And how are we ever going to make it better so that it doesn't happen again? So, yeah, my whole aspect is looking at this from a business point of view, because as business owners, people are incredibly proud people.
Yeah.
And they go to networking events where there's all that sort of bullshit that goes on, and how's your business? Yeah, it's brilliant and all that sort of stuff. I get that. But the more it's talked about, the less stigma is out there. And there are people like me, there are you know, proper mental health professionals out there that if people are just blatantly and brutally honest with themselves, that some of their goals and their visions are just so out of their reach right now, at this point in time, and stop giving themselves such a hard time, they'll probably find that business and success will come to them as opposed to them keep chasing it all the time.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I think that's probably a good place to end the show, because we're getting to the point where, like, 30, you know, the time just flitting away. It always does. So
I know. Have we still got any listeners? Have they all nodded off?
Nah, I'll tell honestly. You what, I bet they'll be intrigued. I'm glad you're talking about it, because that's what I'm trying to do with dyslexia. The more I went to an event the other week, and the trustee, who's quite senior in the police force, turned around at the end and wrapped up the conference that I went to and says, by the way, I discovered a couple of years ago I was dyslexic, da-di-da-di-da. I explained all about it, and afterwards come up to me and said, I have only ever said that twice in public before, and I said it today because you publicly said what you're doing and what you are, and you're dyslexic, and I felt comfortable to do it. Now, that is powerful.
That is incredibly
powerful. So if I'd have done nothing else that week, I've changed that person.
And, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what you're doing. And I think it's wonderful what you're doing. And it's sad that you've had to go through the crap you've been through, same as it's me. But then it makes you perfect to stop other people going down that route. And I think we're both on different journeys, but the same sort of journey as well, which is great. So
it's part of my story. It's part of what makes me me. And so I'll never hide from it. I'll always say that I'll always have to control it, struggle with it, but now I'm aware of it and I know what it can do. I'm in a much, much better place to deal with it and help other people deal with it as well.
Perfect. So where can people get hold of you, Max, for more information? Because people might be interested in it, obviously. It should be.
Yeah, mate, I've got my website, which is www.coachbusinesslife.co.uk, or they can actually listen to the Business Life Coach podcast, which is on iTunes as well. So if they, you can either get that on the website or go to iTunes and type in the Business Life Coach podcast, and you'll see this lovely picture with a cup of coffee and my logo on there. Nice. And you can subscribe. I'll even say it in English. Subscribe, download, and listen to it. And it's about making things as simple and as easy and as less stressful as possible.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And what I've started doing, because on the radio show I can play music, I can't, when this goes onto the podcast. So is there a particular track that sums up everything for you, or a track, what's your go-to track when you want, you know, what do you want?
Mate, do you know what? It's because actually I went to the 2012 Olympics, the Paralympics with my son as well. But it is a song that always like really pumps me up if I'm feeling a little bit low, which is M People Proud.
Oh, I like it. So for those listening on the radio, you're going to listen to M People Proud. For those on the podcast, sorry.
download it. It's an amazing track. Go do that now.
Yeah, that's brilliant. But it's been absolutely wonderful to share part of your story with you. And let's keep in touch. And I think there's a couple of people I can put you in contact with who are doing something similar to you. So thanks for sharing that with us, Mark. Go and check Mark out. I'll put Mark's stuff on the show notes for the podcast so that you can get a hold of him, what have you. So thanks very much.
Absolute pleasure.
Cheers. Well, I hope you enjoyed that, people. Thanks for being on the show, Mark. Great song selection. So, you've been listening to me, Kurt Pickstone, aka Dougie Stone, on Radio Warwickshire. Check out radiowarwickshire.com. We've got new schedule, new playlists. And don't forget to join me on a Monday evening, 6 o'clock UK time, for 2 hours of new country. Oh, yeah. On next week's show, I've got Abid Khan. He is a brilliant guy. He runs Chutney and Chat, and he's also responsible for a charity feeding the homeless in Birmingham. quite topical as well. So tune in for that one. It's a good one, it's a cracker. So whatever you're doing this week, people, stay safe. And see you back, same place, same time, next week. See ya! The Dougie Stone Show.